and welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé, listeners. Parting shot there, Roger.
Yeah, well, thanks. And the local guy saw you. He cracks me, and I was like, well, good thing your wife's there to help you translate the big words. But, you know, I try to say as much as I can with as few words, and I know sometimes I pack in too much, but and I do have this mortified fear that I'm going to detract from the overall high quality of many of these Republic shows. That's so sometimes, sometimes I don't call for weeks on that count alone. Not often, but anyway, yeah, on this James Dobson thing, I haven't tracked him in 3 or 4 years now. I used to be a regular listener over there at Focus on the Family, and I don't recall offhand that he's ever distinguished himself as political prostitute before, but you heard this controversy with his assurances. There was some, I don't know, 5 or 10 person conference call where Dobson got the code word assurances from Team Bush about where Harriet Miller really stood. Did you have a take on that?
Not at all.
Yeah, well, it just strikes me as a little bit cheap for Dobson. I mean, like I said, Billy Graham's a practiced hand at the political prostitute thing, where I don't recall Dobson ever having ventured into that territory quite this way before. So,
well, Roger, listen. What, anyone that isn't covering sustainable development and Agenda 21 is wasting time. It's been going on for years. It continues to this day, big time.
Yeah,
and they keep us diverted in different directions. They blame this Middle East mess on George Bush. But it's the coalition and the U.N. system over there doing its job. How can we be so stupid, Roger?
Yeah, I just can't fathom this James Dobson being so easy on Harry that there. Maybe somebody has a more...
Is any Chief Justice going to be good for us with those in place?
No, of course not. But
it doesn't matter who it is.
To Dobson's thrown in behind her, that was the riddle. Well, God bless you all.
Thank you. Here you have the Department of the Treasury, United States Department of the Treasury, Treasury International Capital System, their home page, listeners. And they have statistics, securities, data, monthly transactions of foreign residents and U.S. residents, and annual holdings of U.S. securities and foreign securities. You have the monthly data on U.S. resident banking liabilities, too, and banking claims on foreign residents. You have the quarterly data on U.S. resident non-banking liabilities, too, and claims on foreign residents are available in Section 4 of the Capital Movements Tables in the Treasury Bulletin, and then there's a description. Then you have the quarterly data on U.S. gross external debt. You have forms and instructions for respondents. You have news, if you're interested in the TIC monthly data that were released previously on Treasury's website, along with the monthly press releases. And you can visit the webpage, Archives of TIC Monthly Data Releases. TIC press releases, a release is made in the middle of each month, the 11th of business day at 9 a.m. in Washington, D.C. This is where we need to concentrate our directions, listeners. The United States Department of the Treasury, it's at unattractive.com. We'll be right back to continue the broadcast. Welcome back. Tomorrow should be a very interesting day. After my show, I'll be with John Stadmiller tomorrow. And then after my night show, we'll be with Michael Shaw, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. That'll be at 11 o'clock Central tomorrow night. So tomorrow should be a very, very busy day. The Office of International Affairs from the U.S. Department of the Treasury, Treasury International Capital System homepage, people. Learn about U.S. securities and foreign securities. This is the crux of the situation that's never covered by the press. The control at the Treasury Department, where the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund of the U.N. And there is the crux of the situation, listeners, that most never cover that. And certainly the television is never going to cover this kind of information. And there is a hideous scenario that is not being covered. Here we have Baltimore tunnel terror. Threat could be worse than expected. Baltimore police say they will always err on the side of caution. But once again, terrorism on the rise created scenarios on us today under the guise of terrorism that was promoted years ago, terrorism promoted years ago. So we see the U.S. transactions with foreigners in long-term securities, and there's lots of directions to take here. You come off one end, you go into another, and you learn about foreign holdings of treasury bills and certificates. The U.S. government corporation, a federally sponsored agency, bonds. And yes, the federal government is a corporation, and it's on our website, as it is here in the Treasury International Capital System. So, once again, we're embroiled in the U.N. system already, and that's where the crux of the situation lies. Vital information, people, on unattractive.com. It will expose to you the complexity of Agenda 21. And it is a reality that is most troubling to me and many others. Let's go to Ann in New Mexico. Hello, Ann. How are you today?
We're all good. Hi, Chris.
Yes.
You're a warrior.
Well, I try.
No, you don't have to try. You're just doing it.
Yes.
And Yahweh bless you.
Thank you.
I get a charity subscription from Sean David Morton.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Delphi Associates Newsletter.
Uh-huh.
And I have in my hand dated September 26, 2005. And he writes, you know, a couple of pages, you know, in front of the, I don't know how many pages, about 16 pages.
Sean David Morton.
Uh-huh. But let me read some quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting, solid information. This is from The Gods of Mammon, entitled. Now, I'm quoting him. All this under mountains of evidence that the concrete and steel-reinforced 17th Street Canal, the source of most of the water swamping New Orleans, was blown up with C4 and military-grade explosives. One U.S. Army Corps of Engineers diver saw the burn marks and knew immediately what caused them, but was told by his superior, quote, "We are not here to conduct an investigation," unquote.
Uh-huh.
But the diver secreted a piece of the debris in his wetsuit and had tests run on it later, which confirmed his suspicions. An anonymous source stated, quote, "We found traces of boron-enhanced fluoronitramino explosives, as well as PBXN-111. This would indicate at least two separate types of explosive devices," end of that quote. Eyewitnesses on a nearby bridge heard and saw a huge explosion and the levee broke, and this occurred a day after the brunt of the storm had passed. If these allegations prove true, the ruptured levee, which flooded New Orleans, was a deliberate act of mass destruction perpetrated by someone with access to military-grade underwater high explosives. Now, this is pretty brutal what I'm going to read. The five shot dead in New Orleans were Department of Defense workers investigating the intentional levee break, according to AP. This is to say nothing of the theory that these storms were pumped up on steroids, supercharged and or aimed using a combination of HARP or space-based scalar wave weaponry. Natural storms do not suddenly produce huge square holes, as can be clearly seen on satellite photos of the storms.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me move over to another quote on the same page. This is page 4. Last week, the Los Angeles Times reported that FEMA had published a report all the way back on August 12, 2000, which was discussed extensively at a FEMA conference. In it, the report stated in this order that, quote, "The three biggest challenges that FEMA will face in the coming years will be, one, a major terrorist attack on the financial centers of New York City, to a massive category 4 or greater hurricane that will hit the city of New Orleans, and 3, a massive earthquake running the length of the San Andreas Fault, unquote. And then Sean says, I could not make this all up if I tried.
Right.
So the first two happened. The next one is the earthquake. And they were talking about that August 12th in the year 2000.
I see. Well,
yeah, so this is, and he has a website, DelphiAssociates.org, I believe.
DelphiAssociates.org.
.org, mm-hmm. And this is what he quoted in his newsletter in March of 1999. I got this on the front inside page. It will be, and this is bad news. It's all bad news, isn't it?
Certainly.
It will be about the fall of 2005 that humanity falls into a collective hole when a series of massive earthquakes, huge food shortages, and a global flu pandemic hit the planet.
Oh, man.
From 2005 to 2025, we will see the complete and utter collapse of everything we would call material civilization, unquote.
Now, isn't that ironic, 2005 to 2025, you say?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said. I'm quoting him.
Uh-huh, quoting him.
I didn't, you know, I'm not predicting this.
Well, and then we deal with this President's Commission on Sustainable Development, where it says, in Joan Vion's book, this treaty will move human beings by 2025.
Isn't that interesting?
To protected islands in which they will not be able to get out or move from.
Yeah, I heard you say that. And, you know, there's another man that was, I've actually seen charts
mm-hmm.
of all the states in the United States. They got the red and the orange and the green where you can't, buffer zones. And
now, that's on my website, too. You haven't been to my website.
No, I don't have a computer. And when I go to the senior citizens' computers and I only have an hour or two, and boom, it's gone, you know?
Oh, boy.
We have to find you
a computer.
Well, I don't want them in my house because I follow Yahweh, and that machine, you know, is good. It's a wonderful study tool,
uh-huh.
but I don't want it in my home along with the TV. I don't have that stuff in my house.
Okay.
I wanted to say for this pandemic, I don't know if it's true or not, but this is to help your listeners. I bought some Sam Buchel syrup.
Uh-huh.
Now, I got the original, and you can also get the immune system buildup. And what it will do, it's made from elderberry.
Uh-huh.
And what it does, there's an ingredient in elderberry that's in this syrup that will decapacitate the virus. A virus has got all kinds of spikes on it, and it needs to replicate itself, so it penetrates the cell with its spikes and starts replicating inside the cell. And what the elderberry does is it coats the spikes.
I see.
So I'm passing that on to you
mm-hmm.
for your listeners. And Yahweh Rapha is the healer, of course. We pray to him. He's the first line of defense. But I bought the elderberry syrup.
Elderberry syrup.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And so I think that would help, you know, help us along with vitamin C, selenium, because I was listening to Bill Sara, I believe his name is. His website is knowledgeofhealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Sardi, I think.
Right.
And he was recommending vitamin E, C, elderberry syrup, and selenium. So I bought the selenium, too. So I'm 65. So, you know, we need all the help we can get in
yes.
this material world. Yes,
yes,
I agree with you. A21 is at the heart of it.
It is.
And the state, you know, as you say, and it's an agenda.
Yeah,
that they're carrying out right under our eyes.
Yeah, right under our noses. We're seeing it happen, and a perfect example is going to unattractive.com, and you can see their plans.
What is that called?
Unattractive.com.
Unattractive?
Yeah, un-attractive.com.
Oh, un-attractive. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got all these sites written down, but it's just a matter of getting to the computers. And
get them to your friends that have computers and work together on exposing it.
But you know what it is? All you have to do is read scripture.
I understand.
Okay, sir.
Thank
Yahweh
you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Ann.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Here we see United Nations Agenda 21, Chapter 6, and it's sustainable medicine. It's the 2006 to 2010 Network Strategic Plan. And you can see the VA New England Healthcare System and a message from the network director. It's all here on unattractive.com. Yowie is what the way I see it. I'm just appalled at the knowledge that people come up with as they expose the information of Agenda 21. It's going on big time, and that's the problem that I see. In 2005, it's moving right along to where in 2025, we'll all be in these little sustainable communities. It'll be like the animals looking in at us in the cages and us looking out of the cages at the animals. That's what it's going to be like unless we put a stop to it. We'll be back with Linda. Stay with us. We have a deteriorating situation with the dam in Massachusetts as a result of the continual rainfall that happened over the last couple of weeks in Massachusetts, and a dam is about to bust. People have been encouraged to leave their homes already, and so where's this going to lead us up in Massachusetts? These continual directions of devastation blamed on God and the environment could very well be creations to cause this, to move communities into these sustainable communities. 20 years they all have to be done, according to Joan Vion's The Global Straitjacket. Then you have the Delos, the Network of Excellence on Digital Libraries. Delos, D-E-L-O-S. Do a search on Delos, listeners. Network of Excellence on Digital Libraries. We just had... Well, let's see. Today is the 16th. From October 13th to the 14th of this year, IT Profiles and Curricula for Libraries, International Master in Information Studies, the Delos Network on Excellence on Digital Libraries, European Library Automation Group, and Parma, Italy. Amazing. October 13th through the 14th, we didn't have any knowledge about this. And that's the point and the problem. Most of these UN conferences that happen outside of our country. This Delos with the introduction of the digital resources in the libraries. How amazing is this, people? The last years have seen an increasing need of positions that system librarian and library manager with skills in IT technologies. The labor market is now beginning to ask for specialized skills. But there is a serious shortage of such skills, mainly due to the lack of formal and informal opportunities for education in information technology, IT. Profiles suited for libraries. Policy measures that could be adopted in response to such needs will take time to be developed and implemented. And the results in the emergence of an increased skill supply will be seen only in the medium-long term, I see. It goes on, the primary objective of this workshop is to identify and define the IT profiles, that's information technology, and skills needed in libraries and information centers, and to propose a set of educational actions that could result in making those skills available in the short, medium term. The cooperation started at the International Master in Information Studies, with ELAG, E-L-A-G, and Delos, D-E-L-O-S, could assist libraries in improving professional skills and in a better planning of education and training investments by defining educational offers, including the most recent results in digital library technology research. What is this all about? Consolidation of information. Consolidation of information that we're supposed to know about the future and the present that's being deciphered through the UN system. But ultimately, we've had a lot of information from the past in books burned at libraries. Libraries have had fires, mysterious fires. And the L.A. Library received a very, very mysterious fire back in the 90s. And all those books were destroyed. So technology is working its way into brainwashing the public. Delos Network of Excellence on Digital Libraries is there on the strategic plan 2006 to 2010 in unattractive listeners, and just amazing stuff, just absolutely amazing information that comes from unattractive. And then once again, we have our website that is loaded with information. absolutely to the degree that is most uncomfortable to behold. Then we have a nation at risk. We have to cover that before the close of the show. Let's move to Linda real quickly. Hello, Linda. John, welcome to the show, John.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes.
I just want to let you know about the whole library and digitizing of all the documents and stuff. And
tell us.
It's been going on for a while. When I was in college in 1988, my cousin, who's in the same business as I am, data management, and we were actually building software back then. And the Library of Congress had a program where they had between 30 and 40 people 24/7 just about digitizing all of the books in the Library of Congress. And it was a task that seemed like never-ending because they get so much information in there. And once they start doing this there and all these other major libraries, to change history, so to speak, would be very easy because everything's in digital format, and they wouldn't necessarily have to worry about anything that was in printed form. So, for example, right now we have lots of history in printed format, and they can't go and delete every book from everyone's house and, you know, with the push of a button. They have to physically go and confiscate things.
Uh-huh.
So as soon as we create a digital anything for voting, for anything, the ways to manipulate it are infinitum. So, for example, crime will probably go up because it's a lot easier for me somewhere or somebody in a computer sitting in Asia to come into your house and steal from you. And there are no fail safes for all these things. So once everything gets connected digitally, we are, in fact, in prison because we can't get out of it. Everything is connected. And they're doing that with driver's licenses, with books, with education, with your medical history, you name it. And so before you know it, when they hand you this real ID card, they're going to be like, hey, you know, we're going to start tacking this on and that on, and it's going to make your life so much easier. But in fact, it's going to set you up for the, you know, for the big scam.
There it is. John, anyway. You want to stay over?
Sure.
Okay. We'll continue with John on the other side real briefly and get into some of these other directions. Stay with us. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. That's Pokerface. Pokerface.com is their website. John, this bottom line to this digital library is to control information?
Yes, it is. It's to control the present and the past. I mean, like I said, if you don't read every book, how do you know what's missing? And when you read books, you know, you're reading them right now, it could be different than it was 10 years ago. Just like the history books, just like all the books in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing what people don't realize is once everything is in digital format, none of this stuff, you know, a lot of stuff is input by, you know, automated systems, by people, and mistakes are made. For example, they have the SunPass here in Florida where you can go ahead and get one of these cards and you can go through without paying tolls. Well, that's only like 98% effective. It makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can't designate it between different vehicles and stuff like that. And they plan to have, I think, 80% of the people on this in the next 10 years. And whoever doesn't have it, you'll be photographed and sent the bill in the mail. And so this year they've opened up the first SunPass toll, you know, only road. You can't drive on this unless you have a SunPass. So they've already initiated this. So what I think is going to happen, and probably one of the largest, you know, new businesses that's going to be come out there, that's going to be coming in the future, is just like you get car insurance or any type of insurance, you're going to have to get some kind of like digital ID insurance in case the computer makes a mistake and it drains your bank account or it does something like that. How are you going to have the time to, you know, investigate it if you have no funds?
There you go. And so, this all kind of comes under the guise of smart highways.
Yep. So anyway.
I appreciate it, John.
All right. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sad commentary for our country. Also, the Maritime Security Resource Center is there for you to research at Unattractive. Wow. Moxie Media. I've got to cover this, though. This is very, very vital. This nation at risk from channelingreality.com. In 1981, Secretary of Education T.H. Bell commissioned a study of our nation's education system. The charter of the National Commission on Excellence was to assess the quality of our system and to make recommendations for improvement. What Bell really wanted was a statistical system to be used for comparative analysis between schools that excelled and schools that were failing. In 1983, the commission produced the report entitled A Nation at Risk, the Imperative for Education Reform. Isn't that amazing how the dumbing down process has been going down our country since the 1930s? And here we have the Hegelian dialectic exposing itself with this A Nation at Risk, the Imperative for Education Reform, listeners. Apparently, this report shocked the nation into thinking that our system was failing and that it must be reformed, and we've been reforming ever since. The final interlocking piece of this package of reforms was proposed in Congress as H.R. 3333 by Representative Tom Tancredo, Republican of Colorado, under the unlikely title Real Guest Act of 2005. That's the Real Guest Act of 2005. S-1033 by McCain and Ted Kennedy, titled, quote, Secure America and Orderly Immigration Act. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Secure America and Orderly Immigration Act. And the Conyers-Kyle S-1438, titled, Comprehensive Enforcement and Immigration Act of 2005. Regardless of the other provisions in these bills, the America's Job Bank will function the same way. The purpose of this analysis is to once again sound the alarm. We are a nation at risk, and we must halt reforms. That's it. We must halt reforms because they are reforming right into a system of totalitarian control, or fascist communist control. What began as a federal system of statistics, as statistics for analyzing the differences between schools, has morphed into a monster system of control that can make Marx, Engels, and J. Edgar Hoover proud. It would make FBI files unnecessary. The government system of, quote, human resource management, end quote, would have everything about a human resource that anybody would ever want to know, and it would be available to anybody the government decides has a need to know, which includes prospective employers. The impetus for sounding the alarm is that Tancredo's bill contains language to create a national jobs data bank, the America's Jobs Bank. The system will match willing employers with willing workers, giving the Secretary of Labor the power to control the inflow of guest workers, balancing them with the domestic supply of labor. This legislation also gives the Secretary of Labor the authority to determine the necessity for foreign labor based on wage rates for a particular job skill. In other words, it gives the Secretary of Labor the power to control supply and demand, including the price of labor, over the entire U.S. labor market. It gives the Secretary of Labor the power to control supply and demand, including the price of labor, over the entire U.S. labor market. That's a monster and a boondoggle. So what does government control of the labor market, hence the economy, have to do with education reform? To understand the linkage, one must go back to the report, A Nation at Risk, and follow the reform steps forward as they lead us right into a communist model of control over the citizens of this nation. And so we have this report, A Nation at Risk, dated 1983. And here's an excerpt or two. The search for solutions to our educational problems must also include a commitment to lifelong learning. The task of rebuilding our system of learning is enormous and must be properly understood and taken seriously. Although 1.5 million new workers enter the economy each year from our colleges and schools, the adults working today will still make up about 75% of the workforce in the year 2000. These workers and new entrants into the workforce will need further education and retraining if they and we as a nation are to thrive and prosper. Keep in mind, this is from A Nation at Risk report dated 1983. In a world of ever-accelerating competition and change in the conditions of the workplace, of ever greater danger, and of ever larger opportunities for those prepared to meet them, educational reform should focus on the goal of creating a learning society. At the heart of such a society is the commitment to a set of values and to a system of education that affords all members the opportunity to stretch their minds to full capacity from early childhood through adulthood, learning more as the world itself changes. And the biggest irony of all, from this publication. If an unfriendly foreign power had attempted to impose on America the mediocre education performance that exists today, we might well have viewed it as an act of war. As it stands, we have allowed this to happen to ourselves. We have even squandered the gains in student achievement made in the wake of the Sputnik challenge. Moreover, we have dismantled essential support systems which helped make those gains possible. We have, in effect, been committing an act of unthinking, unilateral educational disarmament. Since the time of the writing of this report, the quality of education has nosedived. Therefore, it must be concluded that an unfriendly foreign power is, in fact, imposed a mediocre system of education on the American people. Worse still is that it is a control system to manage our economy through the control of human resources or labor. If people really understood what has been done and why, they would indeed consider it an act of war. In hindsight, quote, we have in effect been committing an act of unthinking unilateral educational disarmament, end quote, for the last 22 years by supporting and funding education reform. And pretty vital information, listeners. Nasty in itself, as we see all these engineering directions going on, including the total disarmament of our country. Let me get back to Joan Vion's book, because certainly she connects many dots in the back. In the entire book, the United Nations Global Straitjacket, written in 1999, is a vital read, as is Our Global Neighborhood from the UN System, written in 1995. Those two books, The Global Straitjacket and Our Global Neighborhood, are documents or books that need to be put together and read together. So we deal with the military and political control. Once again, we talked about the environmental control. We didn't really cover the economic control, but we did cover the social control. Now the military and political control. And one of the goals of the UN is a complete disarmament of the forces and defense capabilities of the member states so that in the end, the UN is dominant. There have been a number of laws and policies passed by the U.S. government toward this end. And certainly we all remember, or many of us remember, Freedom from War. This would place our military under foreign command. State Department Publication 7277, which became Public Law 87-297, has provided for this possibility. And once again, the updated law, which was 101-216 of 1989, to update Public Law 87-297. Then you have the list of planks of the Communist Manifesto and their fulfillment in U.S. law. The giving up of part of the Holloman Air Force Base to the Germans, foreign soldiers training in the U.S., including Russians, the establishment of many joint law enforcement schools around the world, and the 40 points of terrorism agreed to by the G7 in Lyon, France, which would join and bring our law enforcement under a central foreign command. And are we there now? Well, the way our military acts, or the police acts as a military, oh boy, it all makes total sense to me as this engineering is going on right in front of our noses, and most of us don't understand this. Most of us aren't paying attention, and that is your responsibility. Last month I said every one of you listening needs to get one more listener. It would be shown on the statistics of the internet listening audience if you did your job of finding one new listener. I'm afraid to find out the results of that, listeners. I'm afraid to find out, because at this point in time, however the number of listeners there are, it's not enough. So there's a chronology, cradle to grave human resources system. It's on channelingreality.com, and it is very, very influential information into understanding the big picture in place and how the educational system has been robbing us for all these decades, starting in 1981. And It's relatively long, lengthy and long, and so I don't want to get into it because I've got to get on our website and deal with information there, because understanding all these directions is very, very important. Keep in mind that there's so much going on. And the avian bird flu, this is going on. There's 9 cases of brain wasting disease in Idaho, according to the Associated Press. Then you have the nano chipping for health from Free Market News. So microchipping, this is all very, very obvious to me that would come into place under the guise of vaccinating our citizens. Here we see Mississippi rocks the boat with bold coastal designs. Now, this comes under the guise of what I was covering yesterday. Smart growth, listeners. Smart growth. There you have this direction being proposed. And, shoot, you also have this, under the guise of sustainable development from the United Nations, a report, a 69-page report, the natural resource aspects of sustainable development in America. That's the United States of America, where they cover agriculture, atmosphere, biodiversity, desertification and drought, energy, forest, fresh water, land management, mountains, oceans, and coastal areas, toxic chemicals, waste and hazardous materials. This can all be accessed on part 2 of our Agenda 21 section at AmericanExpose.com. You just go to part 2 of our Agenda 21 section. Here we see from the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, outside the gaudy 12-story aisle of Capri Casino and Hotel, the signs linger of Hurricane Katrina's devastating wrath. Mammoth casino barges shoved across a highway. The foundations of stately waterfront houses, the storm rumbled out like an eraser from the sky. Inside the casino, though, the scene was one of frenzied optimism, a room filled with architects from Illinois and elsewhere around the country, sketching a new future for the Mississippi Gulf Coast from morning till caffeine-wired midnight. Not the sophisticated planning effort you'd expect from the nation's poorest state. Isn't that amazing? We can dream, quote-unquote, said former Netscape CEO and Mississippi native Jim Barksdale, head of the Governor's Commission on Recovery, Rebuilding and Renewal, which is backed by Mississippi Governor Hallie Barbour. On Monday, 1 week after arriving, the designers and their spokesman leader, Miami-based architect Andres Adani, unveiled the fruits of their brainstorming sessions as Barbour and Barksdale looked on detailed plans for 11 cities and towns along an 80-mile stretch of coastline. There, Katrina battered thousands of properties, creating, in some places, a virtual clean slate. The plans take advantage of that opportunity. And there's much more to this article. And then they have illuminating the choices. The plans represent a clear signal that Mississippi intends not only to rebuild, but also to do things differently than before. Whether different will be better as a matter of debate. Quite interesting information here. The whole guise of this, listeners, is under the heading of smart growth. That's what's going to be happening. It has to happen because the funding is there. The funding is there to make it happen. So when you connect all these dots, quite monumental, people, quite monumental. Shaping your future, whether you like it or not, with news from News with Views, shaping your future, whether you like it or not. It's there on our website. IMF asked Pakistan to check inflation. I see. As they just received an earthquake. Was it God's will that made that earthquake happen? We'll be back. Stay with us. Wrap up this broadcast. Number 47 from today's date under research, you have federal prisons. And you'll see from the congressional record dated May 20th, 2003, Congressman Hoekstra speaks out on prison industries owned and operated by the Department of Justice. Once again, from the Congressional Record, May 20th of 2003. He says, tonight I want to spend a few minutes talking about one of the fastest growing companies in America today. It pays its workers somewhere between 23 cents an hour and $1.15 an hour. It has a wide array of products. It pays no federal taxes. It pays no state or local taxes. As I said, it is one of the fastest growing companies in America today. There are a number of reasons why this company is growing so fast. It has a lock on one of the largest customers in America. That customer cannot buy products or services from anybody else unless that company provides that customer a waiver saying, all right, we are permitting you to go and purchase products from a competitive source. That is a company that on a bid day where companies X, Y, and Z have submitted their bids, this company can say, at the bid opening, X, Y, and Z, please provide me with all of your bid documents. And this fourth company can come back and say, you know, I will get back to you in a week or so to see whether I can match those bids. I will submit my bid in a week now, and I know that these other three companies have bid, and I will see if I can match their price. And by the way, if I can match their price, the bid is mine, regardless of whether the customer believes the quality meets the standard that the customer has set, whether the delivery schedule meets the standard and the customer has set, and now we know what they can match on price. This is all vital, vital information. Number 47, federal prisons, from this congressional record. It's just amazing here, listeners. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about Unicor and the corporate structure of the prison system in America, slave labor products made in America under the federal prison industries. So here you have it. Got to be a vital link to our website. And let's take Roger real quickly, and he's back. Hello.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I called to differ with you on something earlier. Well, I wanted to add that photograph you mentioned earlier of Martin Luther. Lucifer King at the communist training camp, that would have been the Highlander Folk School, so-called, in Tennessee.
In 1957.
You know, that photograph is, if nowhere else, at least in the book, it's very simple, the true story of civil rights by none other than the inimitable Alan Stang. And, yeah, I just wanted to differ. You know, I learned a lot from you and your callers on this show, and I just wanted to differ on the respect that I think there's very little that I've ever said or anyone else has ever said that was not tracked by virtually everyone. I mean, every word. And the rare few times someone is driven to the dictionary, all the better. There's just so much jam-packed information on your show. And and the same disagreement I had with the local guy is about so you assume your audience is too stupid to understand what I'm saying, even though you do, because I draw him out and I find out that he understood.
Thanks, Roger. I appreciate your thoughts we close out the broadcast. Take care, my friends. Do your research. It's all there on AmericanExpose.com. Good afternoon.